asking, how do we pray prayers of audacious faith? How do we pray prayers where we believe that if God could make the sun stand still, God can do a miracle in our lives? And so we've looked at this the last 2 weeks. Today, I want to focus on a little bit of a different narrative, and I'm going to help you with some tension, because some of you are still on the edge, literally, and you're wondering, well, that's great, that's in the Bible. I saw that new show recently, that looks cool, but does God really want to do that for someone like me? And what I want to tell you is that, yes, God wants to do something amazing for all of us. And I hope that today, as you're here, whether you have said yes to Christ or not, or maybe you have, maybe you've been a Christian for some time and you've just given up, that God is going to make the sun stand still for you. And so I want to bring that tension today, because God is in the miracle business. I believe that because I see some miracles in here of things that have happened in your life that you can't explain it. Only God can explain it. And so as we look at this today, I hope that your heart will be open to renew not only your passion for Christ, but that just maybe your situation, you could have audacious faith and believe that God can do the impossible in your circumstance. I don't know about you, but it seems like when I get to a point of great faith, opposition sets in. You see, Lori and I have made some pretty bold decisions in our lives, and some of them haven't been as bold, but we'll make a decision like, let's pay something off. Do you ever do that? You know, sometimes you buy something and you're like, you know, you did the 90-day thing or you did the whatever, and maybe you got in a little credit card debt, and I'm like, let's pay it off. And we get all that courage inside, and we're like, next month when the check comes, we're going to pay that. And then something happens like, you need what? Tires. I mean, you know, why does that happen? Why do your brakes go out? Or why does your rental house, the air conditioning go out when you're like, I just wanted to take that money and do the right thing? And it seems like opposition sets in. You know, maybe you're here today and you could tell me a story about when you were going to do something for God and just something got in the way of that. You see, I realized that even as a kid, when I wanted to do something, I was watching the X Games this weekend, and it's amazing. It's in Brazil. I love that the X Games is going global, because there's so many amazing places that we don't see. But I got to be honest, there's like 14-year-old kids up there doing stuff that is just amazing. And they're 14 and they're doing the big vert ramp. And I'm like, that just seems impossible. But somewhere a kid got his skateboard and his shoes and put in a Tony Hawk DVD, you know, VHS is what we had. And so he watched it and he said, I can do that. And these kids are doing amazing things. I wonder how come in the sports world people can do that. And in the faith world, we can't even muster up the faith to say, God, I just need you to do the impossible. Because sometimes opposition gets in the way. And I want to talk about that today, because you're going to be here and you're going to begin to pray a sun stand still prayer. And this momentum's going to come. But there's other thing called opposition will come. Today, as we look at a story in Mark chapter 5, I want to give you just a little bit of background. There's a man named Jairus. I love that name, Jairus. He's a great man and he needs a miracle. His daughter is very ill. And he's heard about this man named Jesus, and he wants to go and talk to Jesus, and hopefully Jesus can heal his daughter, but he's got a little bit of a problem. I don't know about you, but have you ever felt like everyone around you was being blessed other than you? You ever felt like you were praying for God to do something in your life, and you look over at your neighbor, or you look over at somebody in church, and you're like, what am I praying wrong? It's like the blessing is all over them. You know, I was sitting at the prom table, and we had the king and queen ballots, and they had these little things that almost looked like something a sorcerer would have. And I was like, you know, I just want one of those to anoint myself. All things will happen, you know, and you feel like the anointing's on everyone else but you. You know, you're praying like to get that job and somebody else in your company gets it, or you're praying that your kids will do well and, you know, they're riding the bench, and you're like, God, I mean, do you even hear what I'm saying? And I just want to tell you that often in life, we get caught up in what God is doing in others' lives and maybe miss the blessing that God has for us. And so Jairus is needing a miracle in his life, and he has a problem. Someone cuts in front of him. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been driving recently, and you know, I've been here 2 years, and I can't get used to 285 and the I-20 merger. it just kind of makes my blood pressure go up because I'm on 285 and I know the I-20 lane's coming, and everybody knows that lane gets clogged, right? And so some of you are here, don't lie. You get in that left lane and you zoom over and then you cut in front of somebody because there's always big trucks, and you cut in front of me, and I've been waiting the whole time patiently and you cut me off. And I'm supposed to love you like Christ, and I don't. I don't like being cut in front of. I remember kids in school. I went to Roswell High School, and, you know, the first lunch always had warm cookies. And I had third lunch. So I'd try to sneak over and get in line, and you better believe you're not cutting in front of me for warm cookies. You know, it's funny how we don't like people getting in our way. And Jairus is a man of power and prestige, and a woman, when he needs Jesus the most, cuts in front of him. Now, I don't know about you, but if one of my kids were sick and I'm at a doctor's office, I might pull out a knife if you're going to try to cut in front of me. I mean, not literally, but this is different in this time. And so this is where we pick up today in Mark chapter 5, verse 35. Jairus needs a miracle. This woman is cut in front of him, and this is what happens. While Jesus was still speaking with her, messengers came from the synagogue leader's house, saying to Jairus, "Your daughter has died." Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, I've waited in the waiting room a good while. But I can't imagine, you know, you've made the journey, not to the hospital, but from the hospital, to go find the healer. You're right in front of the healer. Somebody cuts you off, and then somebody comes in and gives you the news. By the way, your son or daughter has just passed. That's not very good news. That's not really good news at all. In fact, today, I don't think any of us really can sort of contemplate that news in that way, because it's just hard to imagine that we were almost about to see Jesus and get a miracle, and then we find out it's too late. Now, there's this phrase in here that I'm going to focus on today. This is what they say: "Why bother the teacher any longer?" Why bother? I'm going to focus on that in a minute. Let me finish this reading. Verse 36. But Jesus overheard their report and said to the synagogue leader, "Don't be afraid. Just keep trusting." He didn't allow anyone to follow him except Peter, James, and John, James' brother. They came to the synagogue leader's house, and he saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "What's all the commotion and crying about?" I'll touch on that in a minute. That's kind of insensitive, Jesus. "The child isn't dead. She's only sleeping." They laughed at him. Don't go laughing at Jesus. That's not a good idea. Then taking the child's parents, they laughed at him, but he threw them all out. Then taking the child's parents and his disciples with him, he went to the room where the child was. Taking her hand, he said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Young woman, get up." Suddenly, the young woman got up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. They were shocked. Now, I want to focus on today, because as we look at this, I believe this is the statement that keeps us from our miracles. Why bother? Look at your neighbor and say that. Why bother? You know, the girl's dead. Why bother? When you're looking at your life and you're trying to figure out what God wants you to do, is the why bother keeping you from the miracle that God wants for you? I believe that through God, all things are possible, but sometimes we have these voices in our head that ask the question, why bother? Your situation's hopeless. There has to be another way. And so as we look at this, you may be here today and you may be asking, why bother? You know, I see people today and in their marriage, they ask, why bother? My spouse will never change. We've been married umpteen years. If you knew this person, if you knew how they really were, you know they'll never change. Why bother? Maybe you're here today and you want to get out of debt and you're just looking at that 48-month plan or 60-month plan or 10-year, and you're like, why bother? I'll always be in debt. Maybe you're here today and you want your children to do better, but the moment that you begin to work on them, they begin to rebel, and you're like, why bother? Maybe you're here today and you've wanted to have a spiritual breakthrough and you want to start reading your Bible and praying, and then Monday morning comes and you hit the alarm and you're tired and you're worn out and it's the same routine every week, and you're like, Why bother? You see, I think all of us, and I don't know what your story is today, but all of us at some point have been faced with a situation where we could have a spiritual breakthrough, but for some reason, this voice inside our head says, why bother? As we look at this story today, I think that Jairus can relate to us because there's times when opposition comes when we need to trust God the most. You see, there's times in my life when I've needed to trust God and I didn't know the outcome and I'm just thinking, why bother? You know, here recently, every year, it seems like I always go on a diet, and more so lately because of my blood pressure. And you know, sometimes I'm looking at the menu and you're going out to eat and I'm like, why bother? It looks so good. I want the chocolate molten cake. And no, don't bring two spoons. Give me one. And so, you know, why bother? And I get caught up in that. There's other times where, you know, I'm beginning to sit down and just write a sermon. This week I had a virus and I just didn't have a lot of energy, mental or physical. And I'm like, why bother? I didn't really say that, but, you know, that would be bad. But there's times in our life where even the best of us sometimes have a why bother moment. And I want to look at this story today because the biggest enemy that we face today is in our minds. And it's this voice that says, why bother? And as we look at this, I want to look at some of these voices because look at where the opposition is in this story. You see, Jairus, your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher any longer? You see, the voice of discouragement for Jairus is not the voice outside in his kingdom, the voice inside. It's the people in his circle who are telling him, why bother? You know, God's going to do something in your life and you're going to begin to pray a sun stand still prayer and you need God to do the impossible. And somebody close to you, maybe even your spouse, maybe even one of your close friends, maybe a colleague is going to look at you and say, why bother? You know, when I thought about planting a church and was just dreaming about it and reading about it, you know, there were people that came up to me and they said, do you know that like 4 out of 5 churches fail? And I'm like, thanks for the encouragement. I think I'll sign up for the failing part. And so I will tell you, there's times when I wanted to plant a church, or there were times when we were planning and things weren't going as quickly as I wanted. And sometimes that voice began to creep in and just say, why bother? Why not just go to another church that's already there and you can just do some cool stuff? And, you know, I'm glad I didn't buy that voice of why bother. And if it affects me as a pastor, it means that it's affecting you as well. And I just want us to see that those voices sometimes are people close to us. And Jesus has a response here. But Jesus overheard their report, and said to the synagogue leader, don't be afraid. You see, sometimes we just need to hear Jesus say, don't be afraid. You know, sometimes we're scared of what God may be leading us to do. We're scared because we're wondering if this is something we ate or is this something really God's going to do? And Jesus is saying to you this morning, don't be afraid, but trust. In the NIV, it uses the word believe. I think sometimes we don't trust because we don't believe. We don't believe that God can do what he did in the Old and New Testament today. And we sort of just look at this as the motion of church rather than we could ask God to make the sun stand still. And I don't know what that reflects in your life, but some of us have some impossible things that we need God to do. You've got things that you need a miracle in your life, and you're looking at this situation, and before you know it, you go from faith to disbelief of why bother. And even Jairus went through this, and the people closest to him are there, but Jesus speaks up and says, trust and believe. And so this morning, I want to lead us into this and look at Jesus is ignoring what these people are saying, and look what happens. He didn't allow anyone to follow him except Peter, James, and John. They came to the synagogue leader's house. He saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. Now, I don't know about you, but I mean, hey, have you ever been at a place where you just needed to cry? I mean, you were so frustrated with the pain of the situation in your life that it just brought you to tears. I was talking to somebody recently and they were having a moment with God and they looked at me and they said, man, I just needed to cry. No one was around. This person was by themselves. They're going through some very difficult circumstances in their life. And this person just said, man, I just boo-hooed because of the pain. It's real. I think sometimes when we want to ask God to do the impossible, we think it's just going to be easy and God's just going to trickle some fairy dust down. There's real pain when you need God to do impossible things. Whether that's God healing your body, whether that's God changing your marriage, whether that's God helping you raise your children or changing your career situation, there's always pain. There's always discouragement. Jesus comes in and these people are in pain. And listen to what he says. What's all this commotion about and crying? Now, Jesus isn't being insensitive here. Let me just say that. Because Jesus knows the outcome. You see, sometimes when we read the text, we got to remember that Jesus is in charge. And when Jesus knows the outcome, he can say things like, why are you crying? She's not dead. She's asleep. And maybe God needs to say to you, it's okay. Your situation's not dead. You're just asleep to what I'm about to do. And so Jesus shows up in the fashion that he does. And he says, trust and believe. But you know what? There's this crowd there, this people gathered. And they begin to laugh at him. Now, if people are going to laugh at Jesus speaking, people are going to laugh at you. God's going to put a vision in your life to do something bold, and people may laugh at you. You may come up with an idea that you're going to change something in this community. You may say, you know, we're never going to have a kid who's going to go home hungry. I know we have our backpack program here. I know that's good. What do kids do in the summer? Maybe you're here and you're like, I want kids to eat during the summer. And somebody's going to look at you because you have no resources. And our church doesn't have enough money to pay for that. And they're going to say, they're going to laugh at you and say, you're crazy. But see, what we have to realize here is Jesus is on the scene. And crazy things happen when Jesus is around. And so if Jesus is around and people are laughing at him, somebody may laugh at your dream, your impossible thing. Know that it will happen. You see, today is about not just the miracle that Jesus is going to do in this girl's life. It's about seeing the opposition before the miracle. And what I believe today is that often the opposition trumps the miracle because we don't ignore the voices. Jesus ignored the people who said his daughter is dead. And he moved on. And so in your situation today, who is going to be there laughing at you or cheering you on? As we look at this, we've got to trust God in a way that just maybe we haven't trusted God before. And what that means is we acknowledge that God knows our pain, but we also acknowledge that God is bigger than our circumstances. And so as we look at this, I want to just see what happens. In verse 40, they laughed at him, but he threw them all out. You know, I love like reading the book of Mark because he's just so explicit with Jesus's words. He just threw them out. You know, sometimes when people are speaking to me in discouragement, I just want to throw them out. Anybody else? You ever wanted to throw somebody out of your house? I mean, it's happened before. You know, that's real stuff. I don't encourage you to do that. But this is what Jesus is saying. Put the voices out of your head. Not literally throw them out. Put the voices outside of your head. When somebody's laughing at you, when somebody's telling you that your dream ain't going to happen, and you know God has birthed a God-sized dream in your heart, put the voices out. And be in the room with Jesus, the healer, the great physician, the author of life, the creator, the sustainer, and know that something is going to happen. And what I know is this, is if I, every time I was talking to people about planting a church and they saw the odds of our community and they saw all the things that were against us. And when we opened the doors, we were wondering how many chairs do we need to have out? And so here we are a year later. I want to tell you the sun stand still prayer I had this Christmas. I prayed that we'd have at least 5 new families come be a part of this church and that we'd hit 100 in attendance by Easter. And guess what? We hit 130. And then we hit 100 last week, even on a spring break day. I want to tell you, that's not me. That's God blessing the miracle inside me to just pray, God, I want something that I can't see, but I'm believing that you can do it. Now, I want to tell you, God's not just in the business of answering the preacher's prayers. God wants to make your prayers happen. And I'm not just trying to grow a church for attendance. We're growing a church because Jesus is transforming lives. But some of you in here need a miracle in your life, and you're listening to that voice. Why bother? And we need to ignore that voice and know that sometimes we have to put those people at bay and just be in the room, in the presence of God, in the person of Jesus Christ, and know that something is going to happen. Amen? As we look at this, I want to just kind of give you something to take away. When you decide to ask God for something big, when you want to pray a sun stand still prayer, just acknowledge opposition is coming. And so whatever this prayer is, you've got to get this in your heart and in your life so that when that opposition comes, you know it's coming. Secondly, when we look at this, some of us in here need to nudge away some things that are keeping us from moving forward. You see, some of you are waiting for all the details for the miracle to happen. And God's only going to give you what you need to know at that point. That's one thing I realized about planting this church. People ask me, what's your plan, preacher? I said, call me tomorrow. I'll let you know. But for now, I'm just following Jesus. And so there is a plan, but I know that God is doing things that even I can't imagine. And as we look at this, what would happen if all of us just sort of ignored the why bother voices and just lived into the miracle? And I want to tell you what will happen as we look at verse 41. Taking her hand, he said to her, Talitha kum, which means young woman, get up. Suddenly the young woman got up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old and they were shocked. See, there's some shocking truths and principles out there, but I think we're in a time and a place where we need to be shocked by God. I think we're in a place where, when I said the other day that if your miracle, if your sun stand still prayer, your vision for your life isn't intimidating to you, it may be insulting to God. And so if you're going to pray some audacious prayers and have audacious faith, you've got to know opposition comes and it comes in the voices. But God's voice is calling you, saying the battle is won. Your daughter is healed. The miracle is coming, but you've got to draw close to me. I want to tell you something. In this community, when I was at the prom, I know that there were some voices for some teenagers that said, why bother keeping my virginity? Why bother not going out and partying tonight? You see, there's always those why bother voices, even at a young age. And some grown-ups, and maybe you're in your 30s or 40s, and you just need a totally different something in your life, but God hasn't been there before for you, and you're just asking, why bother? I want to tell you, please bother God. Because when you bother God, he's not bothered. Because he knows your situation. He knows the dream. He knows the miracle because he's putting it inside you. And just like Jairus, if somebody cuts in front of you, know that God's in charge. And so what is standing in the way of you praying for audacious faith for God to do the impossible in your life? I want to just help you today and just close with this. Maybe today we need to go home and on a sticky note, we need to write the word. Put them out. Put them out. Put it on your mirror. Put it on your fridge. Put it on your car. And remember when those voices come to put them out because God is in the process of doing something in your life. Some of you may need to lean over to your spouse or your friends and you need to just say, put them out. Because you watch your loved one who hears those voices and they take over and you need somebody to look at you and not say, why bother? Put them out and believe and trust in Jesus. And let me just say this. As I'm trusting God with this church, and I'm trusting God with what is the next steps for us, I don't have anything other than just believing that God wants to do more and more because of God's glory. And so if God wants to do more in his church, it happens through each individual in this church. And I believe that as God answers your prayers, that as God does your miracles, other people are going to be shocked. And they're going to be so shocked they want to come to church and they want to see what's happening because in their life they need a miracle. Your miracle may bless someone else's faith. Amen. And so I'm believing today that in audacious faith that we will not buy into the lie of the voices, but believe that Jesus is in control. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for an opportunity to look at one person's faith in you. God, there's so much more to this story. Jairus, being a synagogue person, could have never even believed in Jesus. He could have given up when someone cut in front of him, but he didn't listen to the voices, and his daughter was healed because of his faith in Jesus. Not his faith in himself, not his faith in the Old Testament, but his faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, some of us in here today were discouraged. We've got so many voices in our heads that are keeping us from the miracle, from the story, the life that you have for us. And God, some of us just need to put them out. And we need to reintroduce ourselves to your word that speaks truth and wholeness into our life, God. Lord, I pray that as people are here today and they're making decisions about their marriages, that you would give them strength to not give up on each other, to not give up on the healing power of your hand. God, some of us just need to reach out and touch your hand and be healed. To be healed from our minds that so easily entangle us with lies. That we would be free through your word to believe in the healing power of Christ. That even if Joshua prayed for the sun stand still, God, you can give us audacious faith to do things in this world. God, some of us need to have freedom so that we can get to the busyness of the ministry that you've called us to. Lord, I pray that whatever circumstances are in our life today, God, maybe we're wondering financially how we're going to make it this month. And God, I pray that we would believe in your hand of provision. God, some of us are wondering how things are going to be with our kids, and we're worried. And we're wondering why bother, because maybe our parents didn't take the time to change. God, it's never too late for us to be the people you've called us to be. God, give us an audacious faith like you did Joshua. Joshua remembered the parting of the sea. He remembered what you did in the past to know what you could do today. God, help us remember that you are faithful. And you're not just blessing everyone around us, God. You want to bless us. And it is in our faithfulness to walk with you that we see the blessing. Help us to not miss the miracle. I pray that in Jesus' name. We all said, amen. I want to thank you for being here today.